There was a missionary who used to go to the leper field, and every morning he would say good morning to the lepers. And then one morning he said, my fellow lepers. He'd stayed there so long till he finally caught leprosy himself, and he became a leper with them. And I think they buried him right there at the same place. But like you say, you stay here long enough, you're going to join that group, that crew. If you will, join me in John. Join me in John chapter 15. And after reading Leviticus today, I said John 15 would be a fitting thing to talk about. But I found in John chapter 15, it says we need to stay and abide in Jesus Christ. We need to hold on to Him. We need to be hooked up to Him. We need to be attached to Him as close as we can. And the next thing closest to that is we need to learn how to love. Love is the greatest thing that we'll ever do. Among all the things that we do, if we get love down, it'll save us from a multitude of things that we shouldn't be doing. Because if I'm always loving you, I will never violate you. If I'm always loving you, I'll always care for you. If I'm always loving you, Christ Jesus loved us to the uttermost.
Right.
Never one time did He violate us. Never one time did we have to worry about Him getting after us or sticking it to us. He always loved us to the uttermost. He always led His sheep in the right path, in the straight path.
Yeah.
Says, I am the true vine. Right off the bat, when you get a hold of that, I am the true vine. Anybody else that we could go to, anybody else that we might look to, anybody else that we might follow after, we're already hooking up to the wrong place. Says, Jesus is the true vine. He's the main vine. He's the only vine. He says, my Father is the husbandman. In other words, my Father is the one that prunes the vine. So if we are in Jesus and He is the vine, the root, the stalk of the vine, and we are the branches of the vine, which we're going to see in just a few minutes, God the Father trims us and prunes us that we'll bring the fruit that we should bring. And I know that a lot of folks would preach here, well, fruit means you go out and you win you a pile of souls. But I don't think that's exactly what it's all about. Although winning souls is a great thing and a wonderful thing if God allows you to do that. But I think the fruit of the Spirit that we read about, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, all those things, if we're in the vine, if we're in Jesus Christ, if we're hooked onto the branch, those things are the fruits that are going to come out in our life.
Yeah.
And if God lets us tell somebody about Jesus and so chooses to save them, that's just a little lanyap on the thing. But it says here, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, if I just sit around and don't do anything, God could put me on the shelf. If you sit around and don't do anything, He could put you on the shelf. He could just set you to the side and say, if you're not going to work for me, if you're not going to do for me, that they're pulling it to the side or pruning out, He can just set you over to the corner out of the way. But He says, every branch, not just some of the branches, but every branch gets touched in some way, shape, or form by God the Father. If you're in Christ, each and every one of us is going to get touched by God the Father. He's going to prune us. He's going to grow us. He's going to bring us to a place where we need to be. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. In other words, Jesus Christ, the Word, the living Word, spoke the words that we need to give. And we heard about that last week in John 17. But Jesus Christ, when God spoke and made the world, when God spoke and made the land, when God spoke and made the animals, that was Jesus Christ, who was the Word of God, who became flesh. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. The very same Word, the Logos of God, came and dwelt and walked and talked right among us. It says, and now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. That abiding in me, you say, man, that's easy. I love Jesus. It's really not that easy. Because our eyes and our ears and everything pull us away. We have to work at abiding. I'm not saying we have to work at staying saved. God has us saved totally. But we have to work at abiding in Christ because the world, the lures of the world, the things of the world are always like a fishing bait that's dangling in front of us trying to pull us off to the side. It says, abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. If there's anything that I'm going to do for Christ, I must be abiding in the branch. I must be abiding in the vine. I must be abiding in Jesus Christ. If I'm going to do any love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, any of those things called love, and bring them out in the real world sense, I have to stay in Christ. I have to keep myself in love with Christ. And Jesus says, keep yourselves in love of God. That's a thing that we need to strive at. It's a thing we need to work at. It says, except it abide in the vine, no more can it except to abide it. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. In other words, if we're going to do anything for God, we've got to stay hooked up to Jesus Christ. He needs to be our focal point. He needs to be our target. He needs to be our aiming spot. We need to learn how to keep Him totally in front of our blinders. In fact, if we'd be like the old mules that used to plow, we'd have some blinders on. It's a lot easier to keep our eye on going straight down the road. It says here, I am the vine, ye are the branches. First of all, when I start acting like the vine instead of the branch, I mess up.
Yeah.
He says right off the bat, He's the vine.
Yeah.
I'm the branch.
Amen.
He's the leader. He's the one with the fluids that makes everything grow. He's the one that produces the vitamins and the nutrients that I need to keep doing what I do to make fruit out there on the limb out there. He is the vine. I am just a branch. It says, He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So if I'm out there doing this in the flesh, if I'm out there trying to live this life in the flesh, whatever fruit I'm bringing forth or what I think I'm bringing forth is probably not fruit. It's probably works of the flesh. But it says, if I abide in Him, if I stay in Him, I'm going to bring forth much fruit. Now, that we say, we have people that go around and say, I'm a fruit inspector. I want to see how many people you talked to and how much you did. I don't think we necessarily need to be fruit inspectors. I think God the Father is the fruit inspector. I think God the Father fixes it up where each one of us we'll be in the place we need to be when we need to say something to somebody. We'll be in the place we need to be when we need to be praying. We'll be in the place we need to be when we get humble to do other things. God the Father puts us in the right places. Because if you really think about it, every time I read in the Old Testament, God lines up kings. He moves hearts of princes. He moves hearts of countries. So if I'm going to bring forth fruit, God the Father is already moving me in that direction. My mindset needs to stay in Christ, the one who died for me, the one that saved me. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they shall be burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done to you. Now we understand that asking part is according to God's will. That asking part is according to what God would have us to be doing, not according to my lust or my pride or my flesh or any of those other things that would come up. So if I'm praying or asking God to do something, I need to make sure, first of all, I'm lined up with how would God, Jesus have prayed this prayer? How would God have wanted to hear this prayer? Would it bring honor and glory to God when I'm asking for this thing I'm asking for? But He says, if I ask according to those things, He's listening. He says, if I ask according to those things, it will be done unto you. Here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. When we stay in Christ and we bring forth fruit, when we stay in Christ, just like y'all went to the home the other day, and those folks loved you, and those folks enjoyed that. We don't know what God's doing there, but we understand that those people enjoyed it. Those people got pleasure out of it. And there's a good possibility God could be working on somebody's soul right there. These folks are getting of age now. They ain't got many days left. So if God's going to do something, the word needs to be preached. The word needs to be taught. You need to be going there with the idea that I'm coming here with the idea that God has sent me here on purpose. There's some fruit here to be got. Now, maybe the fruit that you get glorified for glorifying God only, or it could be the fact that He glorifies you by saving somebody out there. But the fact is, God's going to get the glory out of it if we keep doing it. It says, God, the Father, is glorified when we bear fruit. So shall you be my disciples. In other words, if we're out doing the work of God, regardless of how small a job it is, regardless of how small a work it is, you may just be the one who prints the tracts. You may be just the one who puts the stamp of the church logo on the back of the tract. You may be small in the work, but as the work gets done, God gets the glory out of it. And He knows every person involved. It's not just the person who knocks the door. It's not just the person who's on the street corner. It's not just the person at Walmart. It's everyone involved in the work. We understand that we got a printing ministry over there in Romania. Well, all these other churches are part of what's going on in that printing service. And if there's souls being saved because of that printing, every single one in this group gets a little bit of glory out of it for God. It says, "As my Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love." I understand that Jesus Christ loved me way more than I'll ever be able to love Him back. I'm not trying to be super humble or anything like that. I'm just stating the fact that for someone to die for me, as I've mentioned many, many times, for someone who would lay down his life for me, knowing who I am and what I am, just is all that I can come, more than I can get a hold of. It says, "My Father hath loved me," talking about Jesus Christ, "and I have loved you. Continue in my love." So if God the Father loved me enough to stick me in Christ before the foundation of the world, and Christ loved me enough to please the Father by dying for me, the very least I can do is stay in love with Him. The very least I can do is remember, I owe Him my all. He is my all. He's my all in all. He's my great and exceeding reward. He's everything. You're after that. It says, "If you keep my commandments." You say, "Well, wait a minute, brother. You're talking about commandments now." And yes, there's commandments, although we're not under rule of law as we speak, but He's given us commandments to love our brethren, to love our neighbors, to love each other even as we should be loving God the Father. He's given us commandments that we should not lie and steal and cheat and fornicate and all those things. So there are commandments. And He says, if you keep the commandments, because they should be written on our hearts now, not in legal terms, but in our hearts. He says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. In other words, first of all, if I love God, all those other ones will work right on out. If I love God the Father with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul and all the things that's within me, then the lying, stealing, cheating, murdering, all that stuff will all be put to the side and be covered in that one commandment. But then if I love my neighbor as myself, I'll even cover it even just as good, because if I love my neighbor as myself, then I won't do any ill to them either. I won't hurt them either. It says, keep my commandments, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in His love. So we understand here that Jesus Christ followed all the rule of order when He came on this earth, when He walked on this earth for 33 years. Well, there are a lot of people who would say, well, He did this on the Sabbath, He did that on the Sabbath. He did nothing but love on the Sabbath. And love is no violation of the law. God says love does not violate the law. It says here, He kept those things that God had told Him to do. Not only keep them, but He came and told us everything that God the Father told Him to tell us, so that we would be able to understand in our littleness who God is and how huge God is and how big He is, and on top of that, how big Christ is. It says, these things have I spoken to you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We ought to be a happy bunch of guys. Girls, guys, girls. We ought to be happy. Even with the stuff that's going on around us, even though we should be able to hurt when they hurt and feel when they feel and cry when they cry, we also know that through all this we should have a joy unspeakable, because when this is all over, when this all gets wrapped up, we're going to a place where all that's going away. We will never have tears and pain and agony and stuff like that when we get to heaven. When all this little world gets wrapped up, the next 20, 30, 40 years, whatever we got, 60 for you because you want to be 120 or whatever, It's all going to be peace and joy and streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper and the foundations of every kind of stone you can think of. And I don't know what all we're going to be doing, but I guarantee you we're not going to be bored, and we're not going to be floating around playing harps.
Right.
We're not going to be doing that, I guarantee you. Now, it'd be nice if he wants us to. I'd like to learn to play a harp, I guess. But the thing is, that's not what we're going to be doing. That's what they show in the cartoons and things. These things I've spoken to you that you might have remain and your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The very most powerful thing that we can do is to love one another.
Right.
To love one another.
Amen.
But I'll be plumb honest. I never knew what love was till after I got saved. Not real love. Not any kind of love that has substantial grip to it.
Yeah.
To actually care for somebody. Never really occurred to me until after I was saved. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than he. A man lay down his life for his friend.
Amen.
Jesus Christ laid down his life for his friend. He laid down his life for all those he came to save. He laid down his life for all the ones that the Father gave him.
Amen.
He said no greater love would be for a man to give his all for somebody else. Now, that's not commanded of us to do that, but there have been men who have died for the cause of Christ. There have been men who have died to save other folks. There have even been lost men that have jumped on hand grenades and things like that in the army to save their buddies and their pals. No greater love. That guy, even though he was lost, even though he probably split hell wide open the minute he died, loved those guys enough to jump on that hand grenade for them. No greater love is that than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Notice we are his friends if. We are his friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. If you do. It says we are his friends while we're doing his commandments. We're his friends while we're loving. We're his friends while we're planting, doing the fruits. We're his friends while we're being meek and mild and joyful and merciful and kind and all those things. We're his friends when we do the things he tells us to do. It says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things you have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. In other words, he came down here to clarify to us what God the Father was about. He came down here to say he sent his Son to save a group of folks that he had chosen, that he picked out, that he called to the side. He said, I've come to get my own. He said, I've come down here to clarify the things that the Pharisees and all those people was messing up, what the real truth of the truth was. He says, henceforth I call you not servant. And although, while he may not call me a servant, I am his servant. If you read all the epistles, every one of them starts out with the servant of John, the servant of Jesus Christ, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ. All those guys understood that they were yoked up to Jesus Christ and were willing and able and wanting to do anything service-wise that was required. While I am his friend, I am also his servant. But while he may not treat me like a servant, I am his servant. It says, ye have not chosen me. Ye have not chosen me. We hear that all the time. I have choice. I can do what I want. I do this. These 12 men, even the one that was a devil, these 12 men that were called out at this time, were all chosen specifically by Jesus Christ. They were all put in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And not only did he choose them, but he ordained them. He said, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. In other words, he called them out of darkness. He gave them light. He gave them salvation. And he says, and I'm calling you out to go make fruit. He's called us out to make fruit. But these particular guys were specifically ordained to go forth and to bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he shall give you. In other words, fruit. Fruit. We know that some of them went out and they healed people for a certain amount of time before that went away. And we know they went out and they touched people and anointed people and they set up pastors and elders in every city. These people went out and grew a church. Jesus Christ started it. Jesus Christ is the head of it. But Jesus Christ put these men in the field with a specific purpose of putting a church in this world. Now, it's not the church like we see today, most likely, but they didn't have a Methodist church back there in Jerusalem. They didn't have an Episcopal church in Jerusalem. They didn't have a Episcopalian church in there, and they didn't have a Pentecostal church there. They only had one church of Jesus Christ, one church of God. And I don't know how we got so all messed up with all these churches except for man got stirred up into this thing. But when he started this thing, there was only one church. If you were a Christian and you went to any city where they had a church, you went there. You didn't go to some mosque or someplace like that. You went to that church. And you communed with those people. And you fellowshiped with those people. And you talked about Jesus Christ. And you talked about election, you talked about grace, and you talked about mercy, because that's what they believed when they started these things, before all those other guys got all mixed up in it. He says, ye have not chosen me. And the honest thing is, I didn't choose God either at the first. He woke me up. He called me out. He set me on the rock. In fact, that very day I was fighting him. He says, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. In other words, everything we do for Christ, it doesn't disappear. It doesn't go away. Regardless of how big it is, regardless of how small it is, regardless of what it is, regardless of what men may think of what you do, everything in the fruit wise that you do for Jesus Christ, He has it written down. He has it stored up. He has your reward waiting. He has everything lined up for you. It says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my Father's name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. In this whole chapter, every time I turn around, he's saying, love one another, love one another, love one another. Boy, we need to do a lot of loving one another, because we've already heard many times that when he says something two or three times, he's pretty serious about it. I think he's done said this about five times in this chapter, that you need to love one another. But first of all, I need to get along with God and say, God, show me how to love one another. Show me how to be the friend. Show me how to be the one, no matter what's going on, that I can still love. Show me how. Because in the flesh, that's a hard thing to do. The only way that I can love one another in all points is God's got to be in me tight. I got to be in Him tight. It says that you love one. If the world hates you, and if you've been in the Christian very long, you understand that the world don't like what we talk about. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If we're a Christian, if you're doing the work of Christ, if you're out just living the life that you're supposed to live around other people, they don't like you. They can't stand you. They think that we're being judgmental of them, even when we ain't judging them at all. We're just living the life we're supposed to live. And if you're acting like a Christian in a restaurant around other people who's cussing and fussing and hollering and screaming, or they're drinking and doing this and you're not, they're looking at you saying, why ain't they partying like we partying? Why ain't they talking like we talking? And it brings judgment on them, whether you're doing it on purpose or not. The lost world don't like us because we act like Christ. The lost world can't stand anyone who acts like Christ. It hated Him. And it hated Him without a cause. There was no reason for anybody to ever be mad at Christ. He never done anything wrong to anybody. He only gave them the truth. He only gave them wisdom. He only gave them the truth about God the Father. He only told them the things that were good for them. And they could not stand Him. They hated Him. It says, if ye were of the world, me and you, which we're not anymore, if you were of the world would love his own. If I was still lost, those folks out there would love me. They'd love the way I act. They'd love the way I talk. They'd think I was just hunky-dory to them. But because that's all been changed, now they can't stand me. Because that's been changed, they can't stand you. It says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. In other words, he didn't say I chose every single person in the world right there. He says I chose you out of the world. And because I chose you out, because I have made you different, they don't like you. They can't stand you. He says, I have chosen you out of the world. We're a peculiar priesthood, a royal group.
Amen.
We have been called out for a specific purpose, primarily to glorify God, primarily to give praises and worship to God. It says here, remember. You find that a lot in the New Testament, the word remember. He said, why do we keep saying the word remember? Because we forget so easy. Because we suppress that down so easy. It says, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. In other words, I want you to remember this. Don't think you're going to get away from it. If you're actually doing what you're told to do, if you're actually in Christ the way you're supposed to be, if you're actually out doing the work that you're supposed to do, if you're doing love, joy, peace, meekness, kindness, long-suffering, if you're doing those things and you're telling somebody about Jesus, you're going to get persecuted. Somebody's going to laugh at you. Somebody's going to make fun of you. Somebody's going to ridicule you. They even may go so far as to even kill you if this thing keeps on going. But it says, remember, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Right here he calls us servants again. Right here he says, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, then surely they're going to persecute you. If you have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. There's a pretty strong thing. It says, if I'm following after Christ, if I'm doing the things He's told me to do, there are going to be other people who will hear it and will follow it. There are going to be people who will want to get close to what God has to say there. There are going to be people that will hear it and follow it because God will be working on them and bringing them along. One day, He'll even save them. And then maybe they'll be up here and I'll be out there. The fact is, it says, if you have kept my sayings, they will keep yours. If we will stay as close to Jesus as we can, the ones coming up behind us will stay close also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not Him that sent me. They do these things because of Christ, because they never knew the Father. Sad thing is, on the most part, most of them never will know the Father. I pray that they get saved. I want them to get saved. I pray that every time I open my mouth to tell somebody about Jesus, they're one of the ones that's going to get saved. But I also know that few are chosen. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake. They're going to persecute me because of what Christ did. They're going to persecute you because of what Christ did. They're going to persecute you because you're a soldier of the King. You have a light that shines that nobody else has got. You have something that they can't stand. And because they never knew the Father. It says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, which is why he was here, they had not had sin. In other words, the Pharisees, if you remember right, it says that our righteousness would have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. If Jesus Christ had not come and spoke to them, if Jesus Christ had not come and showed them how self-righteous they were, their sin would never have been exposed. Because everybody was supposed to keep the standard of the Pharisees. But he says, if I had not come and spoke to them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, I have exposed them for what they are. Self-righteous. A zeal for God, but not a knowledge of God. A zeal and no truth. He says, I have exposed them, and therefore they have no covering. They have no cloak. And they, and he that hateth me, hateth my Father also. And all through John we say, he that hath the Son hath the Father, and he that hath not the Son hath not the Father. It says, if they have hated the Son, they hate the Father. Yeah. These people that say, well, I love God. I love God. I says, do you love Jesus? You see, that's the point. If you don't love Jesus, the Bible says right there, you hate God. If you don't love Jesus, if you don't have Jesus, you hate the Father. Because the most precious thing there is to the Father is the Son. He's it. He's the apple of God's eyes. He's the everything, the all in all to God the Father. He is the anointed one. And if you hate Him, if you despise Him, then you despise the Father. He that hated me hated my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. He healed people. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He rose the dead from the grave. He did all these things in front of these people, and they still hated Him. And in hating Him, they hated the Father. And they'll tell you up front, I don't hate God. Yeah, you do. If you don't love Jesus, you do. If you don't love Jesus, you have a problem with God. But this cometh to pass. And if we've ever read this Bible once or twice, we understand that every bit of the Scriptures was written because God was going to make them come to pass for a proof of what He was saying and what He was doing and how He was going to do it. But this cometh to pass that the word, might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. They hated me. Without a cause. The one who made them, the one who created them, the one who put them in their own country, the one who carried them on eagle's wings when they came out of Egypt, the one who protected them and made them stay there and brought them back when they got mistreated everything, the one that they should have just fallen all over and loved them without any remorse, says they hated him without a cause. They hated him. I can understand if I did something to you, then you have a reason. But he never done anything to nobody. He was gentle. He was a bruised reed. He was just meek and quiet. He didn't try to overbear anything. He just loved people. And they hated him without a cause. But when the Comforter, I'm glad of this, but when the Comforter is come. Most people don't realize it, but the very moment that they became believers, the very moment that God gave them faith, the very moment that they were saved, the Comforter not only quickened them, but the Comforter moved in. The Comforter. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. He's a sent one, and He comes from the Father. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. We hear all these churches all over the place where they say, we need to worship the Holy Spirit. We need to set the Holy Spirit up and we need to do this. No, we need to worship Jesus. We need to worship the Father because the Holy Spirit, if you've got Him, tells you to worship Jesus. The Holy Spirit tells you the truth about Jesus. If anything you've got is telling you to go do something else, you don't have the Spirit of God. You have some other kind of spirit, and I don't want to tell you what it is. It says, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit doesn't brag about what He does. The Holy Spirit doesn't try to get a following behind Him. The Holy Spirit always aims you at Jesus Christ. Always aims you at what Christ has done according to what the Father asked Him to do. It says, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And the only reason I can bear witness is because their witness was true. Their witness was preached to me. The Holy Spirit quickened me using these words. If you're saved right now, the Holy Spirit quickens you using these words, or some of the ones in this book that we're looking at. The Holy Spirit saved you by the Word of God. Quickened you, made you alive, and then because of that, you bear witness. When I was saved, before I was saved, I wouldn't have sat around and told anybody about Jesus. Surely I wouldn't have told them about the Holy Spirit stuff, because I didn't know a thing about it. But being saved, having the Spirit, sort of give me a loose mouth. I got to tell somebody. Can't help it. And you guys at the thing, y'all going to get loosened up here one of these days. Breland's going to get loosened up, and he's going to just let her fly. He ain't going to be able to, he's going to, wow, where'd that all come from? And it's going to come from the Spirit of God. It's going to come from Jesus Christ. It's going to come from the Father. It's going to come from a love of Christ that he has.
Yeah.
It's going to get nurtured and brought out in him as he goes. And it says, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me. If you're witnessing for Christ, if you're preaching for Christ, if you're doing anything for Christ, it's because you have been with Him. You have been touched by Him. You have been pruned by Him. You have been purged by God the Father. You have been set into the vine, and now you're a fruitful branch. You are ready. You have been with me from the beginning. He's talking here to the apostles. They've been with him from the beginning. I wasn't back in the apostles' time at the beginning, but I do know this. Because the witness that's in me bears witness of what this book says, I know this book is true. This book is faithful. This book leads me into righteousness. I need to stay in this book. I need to study this book. I need to know this book good enough that when somebody asks me a question trying to trip me up or whatever, I know how to make a defense. Maybe not the exact verse where I need to go, but I need to know how to make a defense for what I'm being asked. I need to be able to say why the Muslims aren't right, or why the Jehovah's Witnesses aren't right, or why these group ain't right, or why they. I need to be in this book enough that I can make a defense for what I know. That's not saying God needs a defender. He don't need no lawyer. But I need to be able to say what's in me according to truth. According to truth. It says in the very beginning of this thing, it says, I am the true vine. You need to be hooked onto the true vine. I need to be hooked onto the true vine. It says, my Father is the husbandman. So when we're in that thing, He has the roots. He has the main stalk. And I'm just that little shootout that runs off to the side that gets trimmed and cropped up, and then big old grapes pop up out there because I've been purged and trimmed and pruned. As long as I stay in Him, if I start pulling away, if I start getting away, I start running to the side, then I get set over on the shelf and my fruit starts drying up and dwindling up. So tonight, if I learn anything, I need to stay as close to Christ as I can. We need to stay, no matter what's going on, no matter who's sick, no matter who's doing this, who's doing that, we need to stay as close to Christ. We need to learn how to love more than we've ever loved before, because when it's all over with, when we all get piled up, we're all that's left. We're going to be it. A little church here, a little church in Sealsby, a little churches wherever they're at. When it comes down to it, we're it. We're going to be the last straws. And we need to be in Christ. We need to be in love. Because when everybody else is killing and pillaging and doing all the stuff they're going to be doing. I'm not talking about going through the wrath. I'm not talking about going through the tribulation. That's going to get bad for them. We need to be in love, because love is going to cover a multitude of sins. Pray for us, please.
Most Holy Father, we do come to you tonight, thanking you for all you have given to us, our blessings and our provisions and our families and our loved ones. You give us an assembly that we can come to understand more of our dear Savior, what He's done for us in Calvary. That is true love, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Dear Lord, just help us to grow in love one for another. We understand that you are the true vine. We're just branches. We need to be abiding in you, growing by your word, understanding your word. We need to do it in love. And we just love for our brothers, love for our friends. Father, help us to be more than what we are. Been in the past. We need to grow. We need to stay in the vine, as the word has said, and have a love for the brother. Thank you again for all your graces and mercies and our salvation that we have in our dear Savior, which in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
I can see you love me. You didn't turn the air on. I can see how you love me. You just want to see me sweat again, didn't you?
It's perfect in here.
Listen to that. See
there? There you go.
It's perfect in here. That's right.
Yeah. Some people in fire like perfect.
All right. Some people are perfect like fire. I don't know.
Oh, please return.
Ooh, we had all that on the table. That's perfect.
So we just decided to do that.